Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Phi Beta Crapper division here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, it's actually time to revisit the famous Bulwer-Lytton contest. His name was Edward George Earl Bulwer-Lytton. He opened his novel, Paul Clifford, in 1830 with the immortal words, "It was a dark and stormy night."
Yes, it was.
It also says here he was responsible for the line, "The pen is mightier than the sword."
I don't think so. I always thought that was William Shakespeare.
Well, you thought wrong then.
Evidently.
Now, here we have people write in and try to write things which are as outrageous as what Edward George Earl Bulwer-Lytton. And there are various categories, and I'm going to read to you my personal favorites. The winner in the detective
arena,
yeah.
Genre?
The graphic crime scene photo that stared up at homicide inspector Chuck Venturi from the center of his desk was not a pretty picture. Though it could have been, Chuck mused. Had it only been shot in soft focus with a shutter speed of 1/125th second at f5.6. These are science fiction category. Kirk's mind raced as he quickly assessed his situation. The shields were down, the warp drive and impulse engines were dead. Life support was failing fast, and the Enterprise was plummeting out of control toward the surface of Epsilon 6. And as Scotty and Spock searched frantically through the manuals, trying to find a way to save them all, Kirk vowed, as he stared at the solid blue image filling the main view screen, that never again would he allow a Microsoft operating system to control his ship. These are Western category. Out of the killer cold of the 40 below unending Arctic night into the glowing warmth of the last-ditch saloon, we stumbled numbly, dragging behind us the frozen dead corpse of our friend Bartholomew, whom the hardened permafrost of the tundra resisted our burying. And leaning poor stiff Bart against the wall, gaily called out for drinks for the house as we were flush with prospected gold that now only needed to be split two ways. So cold, you might say.
Hey, whatever happens, you know.
My first night with Anastasia was the kind of magical, passionate ride that left me with my pants on the back of the kitchen chair, my underwear on the chandelier, my socks on the toilet, my hair on the door handle, half of my artificial leg somewhere in the pantry, my kidney in a Coleman ice chest on its way to the Moroccan black market, and my car in a Tijuana auto repair shop with new red diamond tuck interior. That's a night, man. this is terrible. This is the pun category.
Okay.
While they listened to the dulcet strains of Wayne Newton, quaffed champagne cuddled in the hot tub as bubbles nibbled at their shoulders like a peckish Pomeranian, Tiffany and Shane grew lethargic and groggy. And as Shane drew a final sweet drag from his cigarette, an errant breeze hijacked an ember, only to release it into the slumbering Tiffany's mane. But Shane, besotted and inherently doltish, could muster no plan of rescue until he heard Wayne Newton intone, "Dunk her, Shane."
Okay.
That's it.
Well, if you think that stuff was bad, stick around. You ain't heard nothing yet. Listen to some of our bad car advice. The number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, gentlemen. My name's Nick. I'm calling from Junction City, Arkansas.
Hi, Nick. What's going on? Junction City?
Yes.
Shouldn't it be Junction Cities?
No, just Junction City. I tell you, interesting Junction City story.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Our one major intersection is
what?
Is a junction of Arkansas and Louisiana.
Uh-huh.
One Arkansas county and two Louisiana parishes, they all meet right
really?
There. Really?
At that one point?
At that one point, yes.
Oh, that's pretty exciting.
Oh, it is for us. Yeah, we stay up late on Saturday.
You can't contain yourselves, I bet. So what's going on, Nick?
I have a 1992 Chevrolet S10 that's having a three-part fuel problem.
Okay.
I don't drive it very often, and the other day I pulled it around behind the house to load some stuff, and when I shut the truck off, I could hear the fuel pump continue to run. 10 or 15 seconds, something like that. Now, when I drive it to work about 17 miles, I get in and I shut it off, and it doesn't do that. But it has some hesitation when I'm trying to go up a little bit of a hill from a stop, like it's losing fuel.
Like it's losing fuel.
Well, right, you know, like it's low on fuel, and you got to kind of pump the accelerator to get going.
Now, you know that this is the fuel pump running, and you're sure that because the fuel pump's inside the tank, I believe.
Right. Well, I say it's the fuel pump. It's coming from that area below the bed.
And what does it sound like?
It's a buzzing noise. It just goes, and then it quits.
Well, it would be nice to verify that that's what it is, because there may be some emissions device under there that's making that noise. You know, there's a purge valve or something for the charcoal canister, and I don't know where it's located on your S10, but that could be making the noise, or the gas tank could be venting. But you say it does it when you've started it up and haven't driven it far.
Right, right. I started it up the other day just to warm it up, and about 10 minutes later, I shut it off, and it
And that's
did
when
that.
It did it.
Yes.
But if you drive for half an hour, you don't hear it.
Right.
Well,
Well, thanks for the call, Nick.
Yeah, boy, this is pretty exciting stuff, you know?
And maybe I should look at the check engine light, but I haven't taken the black tape off yet. So.
Well, that's another story. Well, you might want to look at that, and that may have more to do with your hesitation than
right.
in fact, this fuel pump thing. It's possible, I think, that the fuel pump relay is sticking.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but you're going to have to verify this by...
You need a helper.
Oh, okay.
Next time when you don't drive it much, let someone else drive it around the corner and shut it off.
Okay.
Meanwhile, as soon as he stops, you crawl underneath the truck.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
and make sure it doesn't drive off with you under there.
I was going to say, so don't use my wife then.
Yeah, that would be dangerous.
Well, here's what I would do first. I would find the plug that connects to the fuel pump. There's a harness that goes right to the fuel tank. It contains the wires for the fuel pump and also the fuel sender. That is the little float mechanism that allows your gauge to read on the dashboard.
Right.
Okay? If you find that, when this is making this noise, if you unplug it and the noise goes away... Okay, and then you plug it back in and the noise comes back, then it almost has to be the fuel pump relay.
Okay.
Which I believe on this thing is up under the dash someplace, maybe on the right-hand side.
Oh, of course. It's not going to be any place easy.
Yeah, well, you won't find that, but buy a new one and then look around for something that looks like it and then replace it. But that's what it could be. And as far as the hesitation, I mean, you could have a fuel pump that's been weakened by the fact that it keeps running all the time.
Right.
But when you go underneath there, make sure that no one is fooling around, and don't let your wife be the one.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, Tom has a lot of experience with this stuff.
Make sure someone puts it in park.
Okay.
And all that stuff, you
right.
know, because
right.
your legs are going to be right under
no, no,
the
don't worry. I would keep your body parallel to the direction of the truck.
There you go.
That way, if something happens,
they'll just go away and not go over you.
Right. And wear a football helmet.
Okay.
Good luck, Nick.
All right. Thanks, guys.
So,
all right.
Actually, I hope we hear from him again. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Maggie from Round Lake, New York.
Round
oh.
Lake.
Yes.
Is it a round lake?
Yeah. From the air, it's pretty round.
Was it formed by a meteor?
I understand
the Department of Public Works.
Thousands of years ago, I guess there was a glacier here. And when it all melted away, Round Lake was left.
Oh, so it's that kind of a lake. What are they called? There's a special name for those kinds of lakes.
Glacier Lake. I don't know.
It'll come to me. Anyway, what's going
Lake
on?
Flaccid.
Oh, God.
What's up, Meg?
Okay, well, my mother recently graciously donated her 1992 Buick Custom Regal. Wait, Buick Regal Custom to my son, my 16-year-old son. When we first got it in March, I guess it was fine. But lately, when you start accelerating, and especially if there's a slight incline in the road, it starts to shudder. Vibrate uh-huh. real violently. And it originally only lasted a few seconds. But since then, it's gotten progressively worse. It's gotten progressively longer. And it just shakes so hard.
And does it ever, if you continue trying to climb a hill, will it shudder all the way up to the top of the hill?
Yep. Yep. And at first I thought that was the whole shebang, but now it seems to, like, even after you crest the hill, it's still shuddering. I mean, it could last 30, 45 seconds.
So it shudders, let me get this right, if you're accelerating or even trying to maintain constant speed.
It seems to die out when you finally peaked your speed, like around 65 if you're on the highway.
Well, it sounds like your mother got rid of this just in time.
You mean, it sounds like a classic case of no power.
Yeah, well, power. It sounds like you could. I mean, my first reaction.
Yeah, I had a first reaction also.
Which is usually right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's got more of a chance of being right than the second, third, or fourth reaction.
What was your first reaction?
Is that it had a cylinder that isn't firing.
Exactly mine.
That it was missing, and you would most notice it when you were trying to accelerate, up a hill especially.
Uh-huh.
My feeling is exactly as my brother's. It's running on five cylinders.
Oh.
And maybe now, since it's getting worse, maybe it's four.
The mileage must be great, though.
So what could it be if it's running on five cylinders? Well, could be something as simple as a spark plug.
Or a bad spark plug wire.
Oh.
And you can take it to the shop and they can, you know, pull out the plugs and take a look. And they're going to find one, I think, that's all fouled. Not to alarm you, mm-hmm. but it could be something else. For example, you could have an axle ready to break or a ball joint ready to fall off or a tie rod in that's bad. If you take it to the shop and they say, well, the engine's fine, it's running on all six cylinders, then make sure they look at all the safety stuff.
Okay.
Because
And in the meantime, I wouldn't try to drive it at 65. I wouldn't drive it over like 25.
Uh-huh.
And especially with a 16-year-old son, because they have no judgment whatsoever.
Oh, yeah.
They have brains of a weevil.
Well, you know, more than that, he has no experience to draw on. I'm reminded of remember the day we were, what was that stuff we put on my driveway?
The
driveway sealer.
Sealer.
And my son Andrew, who's a smart kid, I see him coming from about a half a mile away down the street with smoke pouring out from under the hood. I mean, more smoke than you could ever possibly imagine. And he pulls up in front of the house, and to anyone else, it would look like the car were on fire. And I said, Drew, what are you doing, man? Not knowing what was wrong with the car, I could only have assumed
the worst. Don't mention any names here.
No?
No. I mean, no. Why should it? No.
Sonny.
You have two sons.
Sonny.
Let's blame it the other one. Let people wonder.
And I said, weren't you worried? And he said, why?
Why would I be worried, he said.
He said, I didn't know what to worry about.
Well, because the car was on fire.
He said, oh,
you
said,
fathead.
He said the car wasn't on fire as far as I could tell. It was just smoking.
Yeah.
And he said the engine seemed to run and the brakes seemed to work.
And what else do you
and
want?
I decided that there was no safer place than home.
Oh.
And I reminded him that, you know, he could have been leaking oil and could have melted the engine trying to get home. And he said, oh, yeah, I suppose. But he didn't know. So your son doesn't know when things are vibrating, shaking, making noise. He doesn't know that it's out of the ordinary.
Well, actually, he was disturbed because this is now his baby. Sean is in love with the car and can't wait to replace the stereo system and everything else.
Yeah.
Don't forget,
as much as you love him and as intelligent as he may seem, he's 16 years old and he's a moron.
Oh.
Right. Don't forget that.
Don't forget that.
Hey, at least now I've got someone to back me up that he doesn't know everything, because as far as he's concerned, I know nothing.
That's the worst kind of moron there is.
The most dangerous.
Can I just ask you to back me up on one other thing?
Sure.
He's crazy about snowboarding, and he's got it in his head that this coming winter, because he'll have his license and he'll have his wheels, that he and his buddies, he'll be able to drive up to the various ski resorts an hour and a half, 2 hours away to go snowboarding and up in the Adirondacks and what have you. And I'm basically saying, in your dreams.
No, it sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks.
Sorry, Maggie.
he'll have a few
thanks
miles.
A lot.
Well, he's got to do that.
He'll have a few miles under his belt by then. And if he has a friend with a four-wheel drive vehicle, I would suggest that they use that kid's car.
Mm-hmm.
But at the very least, get him four snow tires and a good skateboard and make sure his health insurance is paid up.
Because don't forget, too, I mean, you live in New York and the kid's been riding around with you for 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
So he has seen snow.
Yeah.
He knows what snow is.
Yeah.
But don't trust him.
Because
the first time it snows, he will do the stupidest thing you could ever imagine. You won't even be able to, you wouldn't be able to predict it in your wildest dreams. Well, of course I had to accelerate going down the hill backwards. I mean, who knows what he'll do?
Yeah.
And I have to quote my son, who the day he turned 20 said to me, "You were right. Teenagers should not be allowed to drive."
Oh, wow.
Yeah, now he can say it.
So he waited. He waited until he was the day he was 20 to tell me that.
But you got to hear him. You lived to hear him say
it. I lived to hear
right.
him say it. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And more importantly, he lived to say it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
See you, Maggie.
And that was a close call.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
All right, look, it's time for me to help you remember last week's puzzler. You ready?
Go ahead.
Here's the first hint, man. Fill in the blank. You had a sneaking suspicion that the yogurt you ate before the show was bad because its freshness date had blank.
Had been written in cuneiform, which
no,
I happen to understand.
I'm sure. It had
It said July 10th on it.
It had expired. That's your first hint. Expired. Here's one more. When your beloved chemistry professor used the term CU, you know he meant blank.
Get lost, Tommy. See you. Adios, man. Get out of my sight. See you. See you.
No. See you is copper, and the puzzler was about a copper. A copper,
oh,
not copper.
A
police
copper.
Officer who stopped someone for an expired inspection sticker. And we'll be back with the answer in just a minute.
When my baby says she feels she can't get something to eat, she wants cold spaghetti in the driver's seat. Wrapped around the fork from the passenger side. You know, whenever we get hungry, we just go for a ride. We got a pound of spaghetti, got some silverware. We got the radio blasting, got the wind in our hair. We got the seatbelts fast and got the car in drive. We got a table for two doing 75. My mama always told me that I eat too fast. Now we're dining in the passing lane, but we're trying to make it last.
And even though King Kong waddles back and rips another antenna off of NPR headquarters every time he hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk...
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean...
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yeah.
And this was sent in by Jeff Iacovelli from Montana. He didn't want to narrow it down to any city in case anyone was looking for him. And he writes the following. One day, this fellow gets pulled over by a cop. And the cop says, I happened to notice as you were driving by that your inspection sticker expired 6 months ago, and I'm going to have to give you a ticket. The fella says, oh, man, everything happens to me. And the cop, of course, asks, what do you mean? And he goes on to say, well, you're not going to believe this, but this is the first time that the car has been driven in 7 months. You see, I was let go from my last job, and while the security guards were escorting me from the building, I fell down a flight of stairs, broke my hip, and I've had a pretty rough go of it with the surgery, the steel pins, the rehab, the memory loss, you know, the enormous rash on my backside. Anyway, I've been home all these months, and I haven't driven the car at all. And just yesterday, I got a job offer, and I figured I better get my inspection sticker because it expired while I was homesick, you know, and that's where I was heading right now.
A likely story.
Well, the cop buys it. He takes the whole story, man. He says, gee, I do feel pretty bad for you. That is a sad story, and I don't want to make your life any worse by giving you a ticket. But before I let you go, I'm going to have to see your driver's license just to make sure that it's valid.
Mm.
So the fellow opens the door to the car, undoes his seatbelt, and begins to get out. And he's reaching for his wallet to get his driver's license when the cop says, on second thought, I'm writing you a ticket. Buddy, you're a liar. This is not the first time that this car has been driven in 7 months. The question was, what did the cop see?
That yogurt that I had for lunch that said expiration date, April.
What the cop saw as soon as the fellow, the perpetrator, opened the door was the little sticker that gas stations often affix to either the door or the door pillar that says, your next oil change is due in 3 months, and they put the date on it.
Yeah.
And it gave him away.
Because it was 3 months ago.
He had an oil change 3 months ago. And if this is the first time he's driven the car,
It's good.
He's in deep trouble. So who's our winner?
Wow. Yeah, the winner this week is Linda Corey from Roanoke, Virginia, and for having her answer selected at random from the two answers that we got. From the many, many correct answers that we got. Linda gets a gift certificate for $26 to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which she can get a 4-CD set, Field Guide to the North American Wacko, filled with four of our favorite shows.
And what, pray tell, makes these our favorites?
We charted the hate mail. And all four of these shows were in the low hundreds.
Excellent! Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so stay tuned for that. And feel free to call us if you have a car problem. We'll do our best not to make it worse. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Yusuf. I'm calling from Toledo, Ohio.
Yusuf.
That's right.
Where in Ohio?
In Toledo.
One of my favorite places.
Not one of mine.
So what's on your mind?
Well, I was hoping you could settle an argument I've been having with my fiancé.
Always dangerous.
I know.
For all of us.
I have a Saturn with about 107,000 miles on it, and I get my oil changed at one of these national chains.
Like Jiffy Lube.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly like that.
Exactly like that.
How exactly? Very exactly?
Very exactly.
Precisely like exactly.
Precisely exactly like that.
Okay.
And every time I go to this unnamed national chain, they convince me that I need to spend much more money and add many more things on than what I want to do, which is just get my oil changed.
Wait, they convince you or they try to convince you?
Well, they succeed in convincing me.
Oh, so you've fallen for this every time.
Every time. So this time that I went, they had a new one. And it was, well, because I have over 100,000 miles on my car, I need to use this high-mileage oil, which is obviously much more expensive than the standard oil they give me. And they told me that it would protect my engine and give me more power. Now, since I've been using it, I actually feel like I'm getting some more power out of the car.
No, you sap.
I haven't even gotten to the argument yet. So I told my fiancé this, and she said, "Ah, you sap," and said that I'd...
Wait, when they put in this oil, did it say anything about extra virgin on the can?
So she said that I'd fallen for the placebo effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so my question to you is, am I a sap?
Well,
there are, I mean, I know somebody at least makes one oil that's for high mileage vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't honestly know exactly how it differs or what it claims to do, but I think it's designed for vehicles which have begun to leak or burn oil.
Yeah, I mean, there are high mileage oils,
uh-huh.
but I never knew, and maybe this is something else that we don't know about, I never knew that they were designed to give more power.
Yeah, that's what I was told.
I could understand that they could be designed to burn, like, instead of burning a quart every 50 miles, it might go up to, like, 60, 65 miles.
But you're not burning any oil at all, nor have you been burning.
No. No real
but,
problem
I mean,
at
the
all.
Oil, the way the oil could get you better mileage is if it were slipperier. For
or
example,
more, or lower viscosity.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't noticed any better mileage either, really.
Oh, you just feel more power.
Yeah.
Right. Well, the
power.
One of the ways you get more power is to have lower viscosity.
Okay.
So, I mean, the lower viscosity of the oil, the slipperier the oil.
Okay.
The more power you'll get, but you'd hardly notice it.
Okay.
You sap.
All right. So much for that.
Well, here's the more important question. Uh-huh. How much more per quart did it cost?
Well, okay, the regular service is $20.
Yeah.
With this, just the oil was $37,
$38.
Oh.
Plus labor?
Oh, yeah.
So when you usually go there, you pay them $20, and this time you paid them what,
$50? Well, when I usually go there...
You get the wiper blades, the air freshener, the fuzzy dice.
You never get out for
the carpet cleaner.
You never got out for
20. As hard as I try, I never get out of there with just 20 bucks.
You are a great guy. You know, Yusuf, you're just a nice guy. Well, you are. I mean, the fact that you have I don't want to say fallen for all of this. You've believed.
I've fallen. Let's not sugarcoat it.
No. I mean.
Yeah, but you're a trusting soul.
You're a trusting soul. You trusted these guys, and I think your fiance should be thrilled that she's marrying such a man.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a medical student.
You're a medical student.
There you go.
Well, you're gonna.
If he had said I'm a lawyer, then we would have
shot everything.
Shot the whole.
Well, you're gonna be a good and compassionate doctor.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and I say if you think you're getting more power out of the car,
fine.
Go ahead. Why not? I think you're a sap.
Thank you for being honest.
But I don't think you're a sap. I think you're just an honest person yourself, and you can't believe that these nice people would be trying to put one over on you.
Right.
And I think your fiance is a very lucky girl.
Thank you.
That's all I can say.
All right.
Yes, well, for $10.95, we'll send her the tape. See you, Yusuf.
All right, bye-bye.
Hey, by the way, before I forget, we got a call from a fellow with some kind of a Nissan, I remember. But he said that he would come out to his car and his windows would be down like 2 inches.
Oh, yeah.
And we made up an answer. We didn't really. We didn't know, but we suspected there was something wrong with his window switch. Or maybe there was a relay that was at fault. And that satisfied him. We got rid of him. But since we've gotten, I guess, some emails from other Nissan owners that said that it's a function that you can use your remote control, evidently, to open the windows. So if you were walking toward the car on a hot day, for example, I think maybe if you held the remote control...
To unlock the door, you mean?
And if you held it down longer, it would also lower the windows a little bit to let some of that hot air. I'm guessing that's what it is. So there's nothing wrong. He just needs to read the book. But there's nothing wrong with his car.
No kidding.
At least that's the current feeling.
So you actually read this mail that comes in?
No, Dougie told me. 888-CAR-TALK. No, I don't read it because most of it is ugly. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jillian calling from Brooklyn.
Hi, Jillian.
I have a 2005 Toyota RAV4, and the heating cooling unit seems to be the problem. When you first get in the car, it's fine and working great for about the first 45 minutes, and then it just completely goes out. You can kind of hear that the blower is working in the dash, and even if you have it cranked all the way up to high, there's no air coming out of the vents.
Ah, but you can hear something going on.
You can hear that behind there that the blower is still trying to work, but there's nothing actually coming out.
Ah.
And when you first get in and turn it on, it works great. It'll heat up the car or cool the car, but after you've been in for, I'd say, about 45 minutes, it just completely stops coming out.
And what do you do?
We either open the windows or put on a sweater.
Or turn our collars up.
Exactly.
And what's wrong with that?
I mean, 45 minutes is a long time to have heat. I mean, it's not bad.
I know. This is true. If you're on a 45-minute trip, it's not bad.
Yeah.
And no matter what you do with the temperature control or the directional control, you can't get anything to come out of this thing at all.
Correct.
And, of course, you haven't called a Toyota dealer because...
I took it to our mechanic.
Ah.
And he took the car, and he actually drove it home, but I don't think he was in it long enough because he drove to Staten Island, and he said it worked fine the whole time.
Well, here's what I think might be happening. I think you may be hearing the motor, but the motor's not really turning.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that the motor has the shaft of the motor has come loose from the fan.
Okay.
And, in fact, it's turning, but it's not producing any flow because it's almost impossible for it not to push air someplace. So my guess is it's not pushing air anyplace because it's not pushing any air at all.
Okay.
So I would, if it were my car, the first thing I'd do is I'd take the blower motor out and see if, in fact, there's not a problem there.
Okay.
And it makes a different noise when it's malfunctioning.
Or you could just find it with your hand, and if you take your hand back and the fingers are missing, you'll know the fan is working.
Exactly. I don't think that fan will ever cut them off, but it'd bloody them up some. I'd use just one finger, maybe. Yeah,
all
that's
right.
You can always count on Tom for some good scientific advice.
Exactly. It's scientific, man. That's what I would do.
Well,
that's
what you call him, Lefty. So listen, I would take it back to this guy and ask him to drop the blower motor out and see if that's the problem.
Okay.
Because I have a feeling that's what it is. I mean, otherwise, I suppose it could be a vacuum problem, but it seems unusual.
Seems unlikely.
That it should occur after 45 minutes of driving, where it's more likely that something is happening to the motor, where it may be seizing up or binding up or doing something like that, and not actually turning that blower.
Okay, great.
And if you go to the Toyota dealer, they may have a service bulletin on this. There may be something that can help your mechanic where they say, oh, yeah, this happens to all of these.
Okay, great.
Good luck, Jillian.
Thank you so much.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, you know what time it is?
Time to switch to our summer white coveralls.
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show to see if they followed our advice.
I keep telling you, you can't use that dig up thing. It just doesn't sound good. Anyway, who's our lucky player this week?
It's Todd from Orlando, Florida.
And what should I remember about Todd?
Well, Todd got himself in a little car trouble and then kept digging.
Okay.
I convinced my girlfriend, who was in need of a car, to buy an older car because it was big, safe, and easy to work on.
Uh-huh.
What was it?
It was 1973 Ford LTD.
Jeez, I think I've owned a couple of those in a previous life.
Yeah.
So you're no longer speaking, I take it.
You could say that. The car has started belching black smoke and backfiring. The last time she came over to the condo to visit, it backfired severely and gave the neighbor's cat a heart attack. The cat died.
Really?
To make matters worse, we had the bright idea of trying to get the neighbor a new cat. There's a stray in the condos that doesn't have a tail. My girlfriend named him Stumpy, so we seduced him in the house. As soon as I shut the door, he mauled me mercilessly.
Yeah, well, because he's a wild cat.
Apparently.
Yeah.
He jumped in the fish tank and ate about four fish, and it's all in about 20 seconds.
Jeez. Todd, you got to quit while you're ahead, man, and you ain't ahead at this point. So quit before you fall any farther behind.
Well, that's why I'm calling. Now I'm trying to save my happy home.
Yeah. What do you want from
us? Happy relationship.
So you want to know what's wrong with the LTD?
No, he wants to know what's wrong with the cat. What are we now? Cat talk?
All right, so what do we tell Todd was wrong with the LTD?
We told him that his timing chain had either skipped or lost some teeth.
Timing chain. Okay, well, let's see.
I still like it.
Oh, yeah, I did too until a minute ago. Todd, are you there?
Yes, I am, guys.
Look, before you fill us in, we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk, have we?
No, we have not.
We have not. And that the answer you're about to give has not been influenced by our staff or by the Car Talk T-shirts that we sent as a bribe to your condo association.
No, it is not.
Oh, good.
So, Todd, what did it turn out to be?
The timing chain.
Oh! Really?
Yes.
Well,
and how does it run now?
I can't believe how well this car runs now. I mean, it is so quiet and smooth. Oh. We are taking your advice and selling it, but it runs like a top.
Oh, well, it would be a lot easier to sell it now that it's not belching black smoke and backfiring and killing cats. The cat killer.
That's exactly
so right. So your girlfriend and you have reconciled, I assume.
We have. She actually doesn't want to sell it. I'm trying to convince her it's the thing to do because it's running so well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This might be your one-week window to sell it. Don't miss this opportunity. Well, I'm happy that turned out all right, except for the cat and the fish. So did you replace the fish?
No, I haven't replaced the fish as of yet. But the neighbor did get a new cat, so that's kind of smooth.
Oh, that's great.
Does the neighbor speak to you?
She says hello, and that's about it.
Yeah. That was polite. You know those polite hellos through clenched teeth. Hello, Todd.
Exactly.
Well, I'm glad that the timing chain worked out, and I'm glad, more importantly, that you and your girlfriend are on the
back
same
together,
page, kind of.
Yeah.
And see, that's pretty good. So thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, Todd.
Well, thanks for the good advice.
All right. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay, guys.
Bye.
If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
All right. I think it's time for us to take a short break, don't you?
Yeah. You working up the new puzzler?
Well, I'm going to give it one last obfuscatory going over before the break.
Obfuscatory? Is that a word?
Yep. See how well it worked?
All right. Well, when we come back, my brother will have a brand new puzzler, and we'll have more of your calls, so don't go away. We certainly won't.
Your gear has been stripped. Your transmission is awful dry. Your gear has been stripped. Your transmission is awful dry. Let me be your mechanic, baby, and you'll be satisfied.
And even though June brides add a no car talk clause to their prenups whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and, of course, the new puzzler.
And I can hardly wait.
Some years ago, when Krusty was in our employ and he still was in possession of his faculties, we had a school teacher fellow that had taken his car into us and on which we had done a lot of brake work.
Mm.
And he came in one day and he said, "Guys, I'm kind of disappointed." He said, "Now that the academic year is over," he said, "I've been doing a lot more driving, you know, especially on weekends." He said, "During the school year, I just drive back and forth to school, and everything seemed fine with that brake job you did." He said, "But now that the nicer weather is here and I'm on summer vacation, I've been taking a lot of long-distance trips." He said, "And I noticed that if I'm driving on the highway for any period of time, when I get off, I often lose the brakes. I step on the brakes and they sink to the floor."
Woo.
So it's a little scary.
Yeah.
So we put the car on the lift and we pull off all the wheels. And, of course, we had already sold them a master cylinder and calipers and all that. So we're going over everything we had done to the car. And, you know, who's checking to see if the calipers are free, if the brake hoses are free. And everything is fine. And Krusty's just sitting there, you know, in the inky shadows. Not saying anything. And finally, after we determined to the best of our ability that there was nothing wrong with the brakes, and we were convinced there was nothing wrong with the brakes, and in fact, there was nothing wrong with the brakes.
Oh, Krusty says.
Krusty says, "When did you have the exhaust system replaced?" And the fellow says, "Well, as a matter of fact, I did have it replaced.
Just before the end of the school year.
Just before the end of the school year. And I took it to somebody else because you thieves wanted to charge me too much." And he says, "That's the problem." So the question is, how in the world could someone's exhaust system affect his brakes? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard on the back of a $20 bill. Hey, we're just trying to keep it simple, folks. And send it to, I mean, we have everything we need.
We do.
We have
except for the $20 bills.
We have the Swiss Chalet, right? Do we have all that stuff?
Yeah, we got the telescope,
the cherry armoire. I mean, the bed. You know, you name it. We got it. We don't need anything else.
Just right.
Well, we need some money.
All those Dremel attachments. I got the scroll saw. We don't need anything else.
Anyway, send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238, or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. If you want to call us, call right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jason calling from Newton, Massachusetts. I'm excited to be here, and I have a question in regards to my 2003 Mini Cooper S. I very, very proudly recently replaced the front rotors and pads on it with my godfather out in Worcester. And ever since, I've had a squeaking sound, but only when it's coasting. And that's something that I had never encountered before. I was expecting that it would happen when I was braking, but it's only when I'm coasting. I just kind of was wondering if you guys had some suggestions.
Let me get this right. You replaced the pads and the rotors?
Front only, yeah.
Front only. And you're pretty sure the noise is coming from the front.
Yeah, because, I mean, if someone's, like, standing by the car outside or something and slowly going by, or if I stick my head out the window, definitely from the front end.
Did you buy the parts from your BMW, from your Mini dealer, your Mini Cooper dealer?
No, they were bought at another automotive shop out.
Were any of these parts made entirely of recycled cardboard?
I don't know. I mean, they didn't look like they came from Great Britain. But
what'd you pay for this job?
Well, the parts I got at cost. So.
Oh, is your godfather in the business?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, so oh. so he is in the.
He's the one who screwed you.
Well, it's entirely possible that you have a little bit of a warp in one of those discs.
That's what I was wondering, because I actually I was trying to be somewhat creative, and I took both of the front wheels off. I put the car up, and on the driver's side, I tried to spin the rotor within the caliper.
Yeah.
And there is a particular point in which I kind of feel a little resistance.
Uh huh.
So I expected if there's a warp rotor, I would have felt that when I'm driving and when I have
to. No, not necessarily, because it could be so little.
Okay.
And it's just enough to deflect that one of those pads enough so that it moves in the bracket that's holding it, and you get that little Now, you could solve the problem one of two ways.
Sure.
Turn the radio one of three ways. You turn the radio up.
Whack it with a hammer.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Okay, one of four ways. you could put if you would put a little dab of grease where the pads sit in the bracket.
Yeah.
Very high temperature grease that probably would have stopped the noise or would have interrupted it, but the warp would still be there. But
yeah.
I think you've got to find out if it's in fact warped.
Yeah.
And the easiest way to do that is to take the caliper off.
Mm-hmm.
And you saved a lot of money by doing this brake job yourself.
Yeah.
You can go out and buy yourself a nice $100 dial indicator.
Yeah.
It's a nice thing to have in your toolkit.
Yeah.
And basically the dial indicator attaches someplace to the steering knuckle, and there's a little probe that touches the rotor.
Okay.
Just barely.
Okay.
And as you spin the thing, it will tell you how many thousandths of an inch or thousandths of a millimeter or whatever of deflection you have in the movement of that rotor as it turns around.
Okay. Sounds
you know,
good
so to... if you found out, for example, that the thing was moving 0.001 of an inch,
yeah.
that would account for your chirp, and eventually it would get worse and make the pedal pulse too.
Yeah, okay. So I would probably feel it eventually, because it only has about 700 miles on the new brake.
Yeah, on the other hand,
yeah.
you could ask your godfather for just two new rotors.
Okay.
And chances are that would solve the problem, and you wouldn't have to buy the $100 dial indicator.
Yeah, okay.
But if you're looking for an excuse, and I'm always looking for an excuse to buy a tool, this is a great opportunity to buy one.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna have to do the backs eventually. So
Now, can you tell which side the chirp is coming from? Is it the driver's side?
That I'm not 100% sure about. I haven't had someone else in the car to stick their head out the window, so we look like two crazy people going down the road with our heads out the window.
Yeah, when you do that, watch out for oncoming traffic.
Bicyclists going by in Cambridge, anything else, yeah.
And telephone poles. Good luck, Jason.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Bye. 888 Car Talk.
You could get into so much trouble.
By recommending stupid stuff to
people? No, by sticking your head out the window.
That's for sure. Well, dogs do it all the time. 888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Karen calling from Davis, California.
Hi, Karen.
Karen, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks. How are you guys?
Not bad.
Good,
yourself?
Good.
What's up?
Well, recently I went on vacation, and when I came back, my car wouldn't start.
How long was your vacation?
It was about a month.
You deserved it.
Yeah. I was visiting family. It wasn't like a vacation to a tropical island.
Where'd you go?
Wisconsin.
But the car doesn't know that. The car thinks you were living it up like Don King on Waikiki Beach.
Leaving it desolate.
Well, anyway, so I get back. It's not working, so I have it towed into the mechanic. And the mechanic tells me what was wrong was that the battery acid had leaked out and eaten through some of the wires. So he replaced the wires. I asked him about the battery, and the mechanic told me that there's nothing wrong with my battery. He said that battery acid can just bubble out a little bit as the battery's working. And he said normally this will just evaporate or something like that. But the way I have a Chevy Cavalier, and he said that the way Chevys are set up, the battery acid's more likely to drip on the wires and eat through them. But he kept reassuring me there's no reason to replace the battery. So that's my question. Is he right? Is there no reason for me to invest in a new one?
Well, the Chevy Cavalier has what's called a side terminal battery.
Right.
Unlike most normal cars, which have the terminals on top. Everyone else in the world has the terminals on the top. Yeah.
The entire civilized world.
Right. Except the ancient Babylonians had the terminals on the top.
But
even the French. But GM, no. And I don't know.
No
why.
One has adopted this side terminal thing from GM. I mean, no one has said, what a great idea. I think we'll try that. Everyone has looked at it and said, If this isn't the stupidest thing, I don't know what is.
The worst thing about it, in my humble opinion, is that the area of contact between the wire and the terminal of the battery is much smaller than it is on a normal battery, which has top posts.
Right.
So that any corrosion that gets in there is going to cause a bad connection and is going to make the car not start. So it may be that your battery wasn't, in fact, dead, and it may be that this would have happened anyway, even if you hadn't gone away.
Yeah, the battery wasn't dead when I came back, actually. The battery still started.
Oh, it cranked, but it wouldn't start.
But it wouldn't start, exactly.
Oh, really?
Their diagnosis is completely bogus.
Right.
Oh.
And I'm going to guess that tomorrow it's not going to start again.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
I mean, but you're going away for a month, even though we made fun of you, had nothing whatever to do with any of this.
Okay.
Because the business of the battery boiling over doesn't happen when you're not there.
Right.
That's going to happen when you're running the vehicle.
And if it were the cause of it not starting, it would have made it not crank. So when you turn the key, it would have been silent.
Okay,
the fact that it cranked and didn't fire up means that there's something else wrong. Who knows what it could have been? I mean, maybe your fuel pump wasn't working. Maybe there's some bad connection someplace other than at the battery. But it wasn't that.
Okay.
So their explanation, whatever they fixed, they may have fixed.
Right.
But what they told you they fixed wasn't responsible for the car not starting.
My doctor does that all the time.
Yeah. But maybe, Karen, they don't think you can handle the truth.
Oh, no. They're probably right.
Yeah, that's why my brother's getting, his doctor says, yeah, it's all right, do whatever you want. Anyway, I would say keep driving until the next time it dies, and then maybe you'll find out what it is. But there's nothing you're going to do about it
but,
now.
But, I mean, you might want to, that's no way to drive. I mean, you can't just drive around waiting for it to not start.
Why? Oh, the rest of us do?
Yeah, exactly.
How long ago did this occurrence take place, this whole coming
it
back?
I got back about 3 weeks ago, and I had it fixed, and it's been running now for another 2 weeks since.
Disregard everything we said.
Oh.
Just drive.
Oh, all right.
See you, Karen.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jim in Lava Hot Springs, Idaho.
Lava Hot Springs?
That's right.
Are there lava hot springs there?
Well, there are hot springs. The lava's all solidified. Still qualified.
Must have been
lava.
Named 20 million years ago.
Yeah, a long time ago, but the hot springs are still here.
The hot springs are still
here. So what's going on, Jim?
I have an 89 Blazer, and it's not a mechanical problem. I guess it qualifies as other.
Okay.
I need to know how to get the smell of goat urine out of the passenger seat.
Jim,
honest to God,
give us a break.
You're letting the goats drive your Blazer again?
No, I was driving the goat. The goat, I picked it up at the vet's. It had injured a leg and ended up having to have the leg amputated.
Oh.
So I had a doctor's appointment with myself that day, so I stopped at the doctor, left the goat in the back of the Blazer, figured, you know, it's a three-legged goat. He's going to stay in the back where the tarp is. But I came back out, and he jumped into the front seat. Who would have thunk a three-legged goat get over the seat? But I figured it was too difficult to get him into the back again.
I had a three-legged dog once.
Yeah?
And it didn't make any difference to that dog.
He'd go anywhere?
She woke up after the amputation, and it was like, wait a minute, didn't I use that? I guess not.
did I smell pizza? And off she went. Yeah.
And I'm sure this goat is up to his old self, you know.
He's doing very well, yep.
Well, our chief veterinary expert tells us that there is a product called Nature's Miracle.
Okay.
Which will do miracles.
Yeah. It's an enzyme. It's not, you know, so it's going to eat away, so to speak, at the urine. I mean, alternatively, you could try 5 quarts of V8 juice.
I tried a deodorizing spray, and my wife said, now my vehicle smells like the inside of a public restroom. But, you know,
yeah, if you start using all that smelly stuff, it'll just confuse everything.
Yeah, well, you're lucky that the goat just decided to whiz on your seat and not eat the entire interior of the Blazer, because you could have come back to having no dashboard.
That's true.
And they love steering wheels, I understand.
my wife thinks the best part is that I tried to aim the goat into the cup holders. It was coming up a bumpy road, and I was less than totally successful, although I did get quite a lot of it into the cup holders.
So how many goats do you have?
I have eight pack goats of my own, and I'm taking care of three other goats for a neighbor.
So what happens when you, like, go to town and go to a restaurant? What do you do with the goats?
The goats are all free range. They're not fenced in or tied up or anything. They just go wherever they want. What we did was fence the house so they can't get into the house.
That was smart, yeah.
Yeah, because before we did that, they ate through screens to get to the house plants.
Oh, they go through everything, yeah.
They'll go through.
But when you take them with you, don't you put them in the back seat of the car?
No, I have the trailer. I only use the Blazer because I was only transporting one goat.
Yeah, you won't make that mistake again.
No, I didn't figure it was worth hitching up
goat.
The trailer for one goat. Actually, I have to take the goat back this afternoon to have his stitches out, but this time I'm going to put a collar on him and tie him in the back so we won't have a repeat performance.
Yeah, and get yourself some Nature's Miracle and good luck.
Thank you for your help.
Thank you, Jim.
See you, Jim. Oh, boy.
Boy,
I'm sure that's going to work. Well, it happened again. You've misspent another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blooper, Penelosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Yucatan Fried Spam, Steak Diane, Glazed Pecan, Honey Bran, Tuna in the Cannon, Shrimp Hoonan, Hungry Man's Supper Plan is John Bugsy Lawler. That's hard to do on one breath.
Whoa, is he here?
No. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Oteka Shawa. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Royal Payne Diaz. And, of course, the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the mildewed tourists in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And above all, don't drive like my brother.
And below all, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1224, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, the Car Talk Guide to Doing It Yourself, including tips on dozens of repairs, and our four basic do-it-yourself goals.
Goal number one, fix the thing that's broken.
Goal number two, try not to break anything that wasn't broken before.
Goal number three, don't blow anything up.
And goal number four, try to finish with the same number of arms, legs, digits, and eyebrows that you came in with.
That's the tough one, those eyebrows, yeah.
Especially the eyebrows. Check out the entire DIY area all this week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though castle guards pull up the drawbridge and light the flaming arrows whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.